We want to say welcome back to the Heights Podcast. At Heights, our mission is to love and to lead all people to a new life with Christ. One of the ways that we do that is by creating content like this podcast that helps you to take your next step of faith. On the Heights Podcast, we like to talk about issues that regard faith, the culture, and the church. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors at Heights Baptist Church in Alvin, Texas. And today I am joined by Trey Atkinson. Trey, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you're a husband.
Yes.
You're a father.
Yes.
You are a software engineer.
That's right.
You are a vocalist.
I am.
Many people in our church will have seen you leading worship on Sunday morning.
I see.
Singing in the vocal team, singing in the choir.
Yep.
You are a life group leader.
That's right.
And you are an alligator hunter.
I am an alligator hunter.
So let's talk about that first. Okay. Tell me about hunting alligators.
Hunting alligators. So I've been a hunter for about 15 years, regularly. Deer, dove, duck, wild pigs, and loved hunting all of those. For the first time a few months ago, I got the opportunity to hunt alligator. That was a whole new experience. It's not like hunting anything else that I've hunted. And some would compare it more to trapping than hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of fun. So you take some bait. I used a chicken thigh quarter that had been sitting outside for a couple of days.
Oh, gross.
And so it was really gross. Really did not like that smell. But you put that on a huge hook, hang it above the water where you think an alligator is, and then leave it. Come back later and see if an alligator took the bait.
Okay.
So the first night we left the bait out, came back in the morning, there was nothing there. The bait's still just hanging there.
Okay.
So we put it somewhere else. Actually got an alligator that day. So the problem with hunting an alligator, and now you have an alligator on a hook and a rope that you have to pull that alligator to you out of the water, which this is something that could bite your leg off probably.
For real.
So I ended up getting an alligator that was 8'9" long.
Nice.
And weighed about 150 pounds.
Wow.
But once it was on the rope's just going down into the water. I can't see it.
Oh, wow.
So I grabbed the rope, and it was probably a 15 or 20 minute battle of me pulling and letting off and pulling and letting off until that alligator finally was up to the edge of the water.
Uh-huh.
And then I took a shotgun and shot it right behind its head to kill it.
Wow.
So that it wouldn't eat me.
Yes. I would assume that like when you're hunting, you want to be the one that eats, not the one that gets eaten.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So, at this point, we talked about this a while back, and the last time we talked about it, you hadn't had any of the stuff processed yet. Have you been able to get some of the stuff processed?
Or? I have had some of it processed. So I took the whole alligator and dropped it off to somebody who knows what they're doing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got the meat back, and have been eating on. We've been eating fried alligator That's every awesome. Now and then at my house.
That sounds delicious.
Which is amazing.
What time is dinner?
About 6:30.
Nice. That sounds fantastic.
We should be ready. Yeah. So yeah, that's been great. And then I'm still waiting on the rest of it. So I'm going to have a white alligator skull, maybe in my living room.
Oh, wow.
We'll see what my wife says when it comes back to the house. And then we're having leather made out of the alligator hide.
I was going to say, now, is any of that leather going to end up in a hat?
I've thought about a hat band.
A hat band. Because I was going to say, because you've got a pretty impressive hat collection.
I like my hats.
You have some cool hats.
Thank you.
Like, you've got cool cowboy hat. You've mm-hmm. got, like, a kind of like a Panama Jack kind of a hat.
Yep.
And just every time I see you, you're one of those guys, I'm like, that's a cool hat.
Well, thank you. I always have liked my hats. And so have tried to create some variety.
Were you always a hat guy growing up?
I was always a hat guy growing up. And that was one of the things at my high school graduation, my dad put together a board of pictures of me in hats from the time I was a baby and couldn't walk all the way through. And it wasn't every minute that I had a hat on, but I always had an interesting hat along the way.
That's awesome. When I was in high school, This will date me a little bit. But when I was in high school growing up in Southern California, that was back when the music called ska was really popular.
Yes.
We'll have to do an episode on what ska is at some point.
That would be awesome.
Ska was very popular, which is kind of like a reggae fusion. But there was a lot of kind of retro fashion involved in that.
That's right.
And also swing music kind of had a revival in the late 90s, especially in Southern California. And kids used to go to the free or the cheap part of Disneyland and listen to swing bands play at Disneyland, or they would have like annual passes. But anyway, so those musical styles were kind of a big thing for me when I was in high school. And so some of those fashions, you know, so I went to swing dances when I was in high school. And so I became very fond of wearing like a cabbie hat.
Yeah.
And I also wore a fedora a lot.
Nice.
And I think one of my girls found my fedora a couple days ago, and it's cool. It's pretty beat up at this point. But
she's gonna start wearing it to church.
Possibly.
That would be awesome.
But I typically don't wear hats that much anymore.
Yeah.
Only when it's cold outside or raining. But all right. So alligator hunting. So then here's my question then. So what is harder? Is it harder to wrangle an alligator, or is it harder to wrangle a life group as a life group leader? Which of those things is more difficult?
I think wrangling an alligator was harder than wrangling a life group, although each have their own challenges. So I've been very blessed with my life group here at Heights, with some great life group members, who have quickly became friends and deepening those relationships as we go along. But they've made life very easy on me through the time of wrangling the life group.
How long has that life group in its current like iteration, how long has that been going at this point?
Has
it been 2 years or just a year?
I think it's around a year and a half.
Okay.
Getting close to that. I think we started in October, but it wasn't last year. It was the previous year, I think.
The life group that we attend on Sunday morning and that we co-lead on Sunday morning is called Branches.
That's right.
I mean, I say co-lead, let's be real. You do all of the work and then I teach occasionally. Like that's kind of the division of labor.
And that's very appreciated.
But we were talking at lunch and we were talking about how it's a really easy class to lead because there's just some really great discussion.
Yeah.
You know? So tell me a little bit about when you're putting together a life group, tell me a little bit about like what you're looking for when you're leading a life group, because leading a life group is more than just who's talking on Sunday.
Sure.
You know, because especially like in our group, like we're a discussion based group. So like everybody's talking, which is one of the things that's so great about it. But tell me kind of about like what you're looking for when you're leading a life group.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Coming in, trying to put my thoughts together there. But I go through and pick out some curriculum of what are we going to be studying. So far for this life group, we've been using Right Now Media and find a study there. And so we're learning from mostly pastors from other parts of the country or other parts of the world, which is awesome because that means everybody's not relying on me to come up with what are we talking about today. But then coming into that is my thought in preparing for a particular lesson is not just what's the point I'm trying to get across here, but how can I spur us on to conversation while we're meeting together? Because yes, there are certain scripture passages we're going to be looking at here. There are certain points that we need to make that we're applying this. But then rather than me going through and just getting up and talking for an hour, I want to get us talking and sharing our life experiences and looking for questions to probe that out of the class, the people who are in class that morning. When was a time that this happened to you? Or when was a time that you saw this kind of activity that we're seeing in the Bible around you? And how did you respond to that? And so that really tends to create some great conversation.
Some great conversation.
Yeah.
It's been cool. One of the things that I have found to be really what's been interesting to watch as we've been doing this group for, 12 to 18 months. It was a new group when it formed. And so not everybody kind of knew each other right off the bat.
It's true.
And so it's been cool to watch people get to know each other, but it's also been cool to watch as, some new people have come into the church and plugged in, to see them get involved and get engaged, because sometimes it can take a really long time to get comfortable enough with other believers that you can be vulnerable. But I've just been really impressed with a lot of the people in our particular group that have been willing to be kind of vulnerable, even, really early on in that process.
Yeah.
And so that's been something that's cool to watch. I know for me, learning to be a life group leader, it was hard for me at first because I love the Bible. Yeah. And so I'm a nerd and I'm a Bible geek, and I love deep dives into Greek and Hebrew and theological concepts. Mm-hmm. And so when I first started teaching a life group here at Heights, I found myself writing on the whiteboard and talking the whole time.
Yeah.
Even though on paper I wanted a discussion, I didn't know how to facilitate a discussion.
Right.
Because there was just so much there in the passage that I was so excited about that I wanted to share with people. Learning from some of the other teachers. One of the things that's been great for me personally is to be part of a teaching rotation and watch other teachers. And so one of the things that I've learned how to do over the years is to ask the question, how, and really kind of dive into that application portion.
Right.
Because that's the place where I think sometimes I would struggle as a teacher, because I'm writing big words on the board, because I want them to be as excited about those big words as I am. But, how do we do what God's calling us to do in this passage? And let's moving beyond just the understanding what the Bible says, but how does that impact our lives?
Right.
And so that, I know for me, that's been an area of growth for me over the past years, but that growth has been accomplished by watching people do it really well. So thank you. Thank you for being one of those people who does it really, really well.
Yeah.
When you're leading a life group, obviously we're spending time studying God's word together, but we're also praying for one another, building relationships with one another, fellowshipping together. How do you see that balance? Like, how much time do you spend digging into the word versus spending time digging into what's going on in each other's lives?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that in my mind is one of the challenges we face to a certain degree, with having, we have a limited time for life group on a Sunday morning. And sometimes there's a lesson that we've got a lot of ground to cover, within that time. And a lot of times we don't cover all that ground, depending on conversation and what happens that morning. I do always try to leave some time after a lesson, to share prayer requests and, hey, what's going on in your life that we can pray for you for about this week? I don't always succeed at leaving that time at the end, depending on conversation, or depending on how well I manage time during the lesson.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. But that is something that's very important. And we call it life group because we do want to be sharing our lives together.
Right.
And we do want to be, growing in Christ together, but also deepening our relationships together.
Right.
And so with the limited time we have in life group Sunday morning, it's difficult to do all of those things together.
Right.
And that's where I see, I like to encourage each of us to reach out and spend time together outside of that life group time.
Yeah.
Whether it's scheduling a fellowship with the whole life group, which we did right before Thanksgiving. We had a Friendsgiving.
Yeah. That was fun.
Fellowship, that some other members in the class came up and said, hey, we'd like to do this. And we did it, and it was great. And so doing things like that together can help to deepen our relationships together. But also even, one family with one family, three families getting together outside of a Sunday morning, I think is very crucial to us building closer relationships together, and building those friendships that will be very long lasting. That's something I was thinking about earlier today, from stories from my grandparents.
Oh yeah.
So they were members here at Heights in the early days. They weren't some of the founding members, but they were here early days, and they were here for 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. And they told me stories recently about how my grandparents and their family had three or four other families that they did life together. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, we didn't call it life groups. It was, they had Sunday school, they had church.
Right.
But then outside of church, they, those families met together. They played games. They spent, you know, spent time together with a meal or a game or doing activities with their kids. And they developed lifelong friendships.
Yeah.
And I still talk to people here on Sunday mornings at Heights that will tell me, I talked to your grandmother the other day on the phone because they were friends together.
That's awesome.
50 years ago or however long.
Yeah.
When they were members together.
One of the things that's been a real encouragement to me over the years is sometimes group text messages.
Yeah.
My wife has got on a group chat with a few ladies that she's close to that have, you know, that she's been a part of life group with, and that's a huge source of encouragement for her. Mm. And, you know, what I try and do is sometimes, you know, text message the guys, you know, in the guys that I know, and just to let them know I'm praying for them as they're being husbands and fathers and dealing with the challenges of loving their wives and loving their children and going to work and doing all those things. Like that's just so important. So speaking of, being a husband and a father, so you work remote.
I do.
What do you do for a living?
So I'm a software engineer, work for State Farm Insurance. And they graciously let me work remote from Alvin, offices in the Dallas area. And so I travel to the office maybe four times a year.
Okay.
And the rest of the time I'm at my house.
You're at your house, but you also, you guys also are homeschoolers.
That's right.
And you got how many kids?
Four kids.
Nice.
5 to 15 years old. And so all four are in play with homeschool at this point, at various levels. And so there's certainly lots of challenges there of, I have to be on my laptop and working, and whether it's writing code or meeting with other people, doing the different things that I'm expected to do for my job. But also there's four kids running around the house.
I was gonna say, do you ever have to like mute your microphone on a Zoom call and be like, hold on, I got to go be dad for a minute?
Oh yes.
Do you have like a dedicated like room for your workspace, or is it just kind of like everybody's out in the open, or how do you manage that?
So I do have a dedicated room.
That's helpful.
It is very helpful. So I usually start my day downstairs and just kind of in the open. My house wakes up a little later than most.
As is not uncommon with homeschooling.
With homeschooling, and it works fine for us.
Yeah.
And so I'll start my day downstairs, drink my coffee, check the emails, see what lies in store for my day, meetings and whatnot. And then depending on how rowdy the house gets, I have a room upstairs that I can carry my laptop up there and take my work with me. And if I need to, close and lock the door and not let, you know, if there's a critical meeting that I need to not be interrupted, mm-hmm. close and lock that door. And they know, don't come and mess with dad unless someone's bleeding or dying. And the rest of the time, a lot of my time I spend in my office at home, with the door open. Mm-hmm. And throughout the day, we'll have kids come in and ask questions or come in and bring toys and start playing in some part of the room.
I love it.
We also have a dog will lay off in the corner and sleep and snore sometimes. I have a kid over there playing with some toy, and I'm on a meeting trying to talk to people. So
I can't even imagine when it's great fun. When 2020 happened, you know, and then, you know, everything was social distancing and lots of people weren't coming. I mean, I still came to the church every single day.
Oh yeah.
I think back in in early 2020, basically it was me and Pastor Lee. I think we're the only people that were still coming here on a daily basis.
Right.
But the reason is because I can't even imagine the concept of trying to get any work done at home. That's never been me. I've never had any kind of a remote kind of position. Mm-hmm. And so I've never really developed good habits for working at home. So usually if I had work to do, I would go to a coffee shop or I'd go, Starbucks or 1820 or, something like that. So I just, when in those days of 2020, when it was, when the office was officially closed, I still came here every day to get done what I needed to get done. Cause I wouldn't even know how to get it done at home.
Cause there's quiet and there's not all of the distractions here.
Exactly. Yeah. And
it's a huge thing.
And so I'm just imagining a house with four kids, because I've got four kids too.
Yeah.
And imagining the amount of chaos that's going on at my house on any given moment, and thinking that it's probably similar, because it's the same number of people in the room.
That's right.
So I can't even that's imagine. Right. Is it hard for you sometimes? Do you ever feel kind of pulled in directions because you're at work trying to get your work done during your working hours, but there's something going on with the kids that needs to be addressed? Yep. And do you have to take a break and be dad sometimes, or do you do a pretty good job of compartmentalizing? How do you handle that?
There certainly is, getting pulled in multiple directions. That's a common occurrence. And thankfully most of the time when I need to go be dad, I'm not in the middle of something critical. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of times where I've been on a meeting and something was happening in the other room and I'll be right back.
Gotcha.
Mute, walk away. Hey, y'all act right.
Right.
And deal with whatever the situation was at home and come back. Thankfully there haven't been too many of those so far. And so it has worked well.
So your oldest daughter is a high schooler.
Correct.
And she's also a member of our worship team.
That's right.
And also helps to lead worship in our student ministry too. She's a very talented young lady.
Lauren is great.
Have you guys been doing homeschooling the whole time? Or at what point in raising kids did you guys decide to homeschool?
So Lauren went to public school for her kindergarten year.
Okay.
And it was after that, so starting first grade for her. Is when we started homeschooling, and it's been,
so you've been at this for a minute,
for a while. That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
That's very cool. Homeschooling's really different. I was a homeschooler when I was a kid. Homeschooling's changed a lot. Since when I was doing it in the '80s and nobody else was,
right?
Like, as people, you'd walk around, you tell people what you're doing. They're like, you're doing what? Like, it's very,
is
very,
is that
weird.
An option?
It's very much more common than it used to be.
It is.
But it's also just, it's very different because the internet is awesome.
Right.
Because I was, my wife and I frequently kind of compare notes of what school looks like for our kids versus what school looked like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And my mom was an educator. And so our, the way we did homeschooling was very, it was pretty traditional. We had a textbook for every subject. Mm-hmm. And, here's your lesson plan, and here's your curriculum, and here's your assignment, and you read the chapter, and you take the quiz, and you take the test, and you kind of do that, just a very, very traditional.
Right.
Whereas my wife, she's doing, it's much more of a kind of a one room schoolhouse model, where kind of the kids are all together for a lot of the stuff, especially when it comes to things like social studies.
Sure.
And so she's actually got a range from high school all the way down to second grade, all happening, but there's a whole lot of YouTube,
right?
There's so many resources, and it's been cool to watch the creativity and the freedom that having those kind of resources available. I came home and we were eating dinner a couple nights ago, and the kids were all talking about Hammurabi's code. This is what we talked about today. We talked about Hammurabi's code, and all of them could talk about it because they'd all done that together, even though they're different grade levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just been cool to watch kind of the freedom and the variety that comes with homeschooling in the, in the 21st century versus, the end of the 20th century before the internet.
Sure.
But so are you guys envisioning this is something you guys are going to continue throughout while the little ones are in school? Or?
That's something we're certainly holding with an open hand at this point.
Okay.
And so we do have great options, for continuing to homeschool. There's great options for not homeschooling and, you know, maybe do something different with the little ones.
Gotcha.
And so that is definitely an open hand. You know, depending on what, you know, what happens with the family, and what our needs are at the time. And so, you know, if we're able to continue homeschooling all the way through, great. Mm-hmm. If there are other challenges and, you know, life pulls people in different directions at different timeframes. And so, if that happens, we may look at some other options, but at this point we're homeschooling this year.
Very cool.
So probably a 1 year at a time situation.
That's what my mom always said. And yeah. Even though we managed to make it all the way through all the years, that's what she said. Anytime anybody would ask, mm-hmm. she would say, well, we're doing it this year.
Right.
And then, you know, and the kind of on an annual basis, we'll kind of mm-hmm. reevaluate and is this still working? Is it working for our particular kid? You know, is it,
right.
You know, cause those are all kind of factors you have to consider.
Yeah.
There's one of the, I think the beautiful things about homeschooling is that it's not one size fits all.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of different ways and methods and ways to make it work. But then also you've got to have a certain kind of parent and a certain kind of kid that it's going to work for them.
Sure.
You know? And so that's, you know, I think that's a really valuable kind of philosophy is to say, you know, well, we're going to do it this year mm-hmm. and then we're going to see what God has for us next year.
And sometimes committing to 1 year at a time is a lot.
Yeah, this is true. Well, we have days.
So yes,
we have days where Catherine's like, I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end. We're not talking about to you. So yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to make mm-hmm. it to the end of the week.
Right.
And I was like, okay,
right.
It's time for a parent teacher conference.
That's right.
it's time for mom and teacher to have a break and dad's gonna wrangle the kids
yeah.
tonight.
Yeah, and dad gets to play principal today, and
yeah, and that's not never, just be the that, fun one. That's never a good thing. That's never good. If my kids get sent to the principal's office, that's not a good day.
That's right.
Do you get to be hands on with a lot of the education, or is it primarily Amy that?
We have been able to split some of that, and so I have been at least somewhat hands on parts of it. Some of it, it's a, you know, dad serving kind of a principal role or kind of an organizer role of what things are we going to do this year or this week. Mm-hmm. And there are certain subjects that I've been gifted more than Amy has been. And so she said, she tried it for a little while and said, I don't do math. You're the math guy. And so I get to do math. And so I have, thankfully with working from home, that does give me some flexibility that I'm able to help with some of that.
So to kind of pull the different kind of threads that we've talked about back together. So how is leading your family different from leading a life group? Like what things are similar and what things are different?
There are definitely plenty of responsibilities with both of those.
Yes, there are.
Most of my children are still younger. Mm-hmm. And so, to a certain degree, that feels more like herding cats than...
Or hunting alligators
than leading a life group. Most of those in the life group with us are more mature and adults. Mm-hmm. Excluding myself. and so, yeah, that it's, also I'm at home every day. Mm-hmm. And because I work from home, I'm at home all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And so are my kids. And so that is a lot of time, that we are given to get on each other's nerves or to bless each other.
That's a really good way of looking at it.
It goes both ways. With life group, I've got a limited amount of time,
right.
With that group of people. Mm-hmm. And so that presents a different sort of challenge of I need to be coming into that time prepared. I need to be coming into that time ready to, you know, hopefully provide some value. Mm-hmm. In whatever interactions we have there. Whereas I don't have the great amount of time that I have with my children. I still have some responsibility and some leadership that I need to be speaking into these people and hopefully adding value to their lives and not just, you know, reading a Bible passage and talking in circles about hopefully not nothing.
So I'm thinking that if there's two kinds of people that may have a chance to hear this pod, you got a person who hasn't had the opportunity to plug into a life group, or maybe they're not currently part of a life group. Maybe they tried once and it didn't really work for them, but sure. So they're not currently part of a life group. And then another person who, maybe God might be calling them to help lead or teach a life group.
Yeah.
What are some things that you would say to either that person that hasn't had a chance to be plugged in into a life group or who maybe God might be calling to serve by teaching or leading?
Yeah. First off, come down next September and let's go alligator hunting together.
Yes.
Because that is a fantastic experience. So for those who aren't plugged into a life group, you know, hopefully you're coming to Sunday morning worship with us. And you've seen some of our faces, even on stage, but also in the seats with you. We're there worshiping together. And one way to build some greater relationships at the church is to come and join a life group. And whether it's branches with us or another life group, that's a way to, one, build some deeper relationships. Also, we get to study the Bible a little bit more in depth than Pastor Lee is able to present to us most Sunday mornings.
Right.
And so,
because he's got limited time too.
Right. He has a very limited amount of time. And he doesn't have us talking back at him.
Right.
And, you know, with getting a variety of viewpoints, we talked about having the discussions that we have in life group. Mm-hmm. We get viewpoints from a variety of people who have a variety of backgrounds.
Right.
We don't all come from the same place. And so that adds another level or dimension to our discussions and what we end up coming away from our Bible study in. Mm-hmm. And so that's some of what I see being great value in our life groups. Mm-hmm. It also provides, you know, some opportunities that we can connect and maybe do some things outside of the church building together that we may not be able to make that relationship when we're just coming to worship service together.
Right.
So then for those who are part of a life group and maybe considering being a leader or being on a teaching rotation, jump in and do it. It is a fantastic experience. And certainly the first couple of times, the first dozen times for some of us, that you're up there and teaching or leading discussion, it feels like I'm messing up all the time. I still feel that way. I still feel that way after being, you know, I was on a rotation for a while and then leading my own group for a while, and it's there. But it's a fantastic experience. And it's, what's the word? Not just a fantastic experience for you, also a fantastic experience for your group.
That's cool. I like that.
To get someone else up in front of them, mm-hmm. Who can speak from their own experience and perspective and share their own knowledge and their own relationship with God with the other people.
I like it. Trey Atkinson, thank you for being on the program today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
And we want to say thank you to our audience for spending this time with us today. Here at Heights Baptist Church, we meet every Sunday for worship at 10:30 a.m. And we have life groups for all ages at 9 a.m. And so we have a campus on the south side of the Houston metro area. And so if you'd like to join us for worship or for life group on a Sunday morning, we'd love to see you in person. We also live stream our services online through Facebook and YouTube. So be sure to like and subscribe for our content so you can get updates of what's going on at Heights. And thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.